Welcome to the Rural Pastor Podcast with your host, Pastor Andy Addis.
You plant the seeds in the ground, though the fields have long been brown. But Lord, when will your harvest come in? You're giving all you've got to give in the place where you've been sent. But will this labor make much difference in the end? Will no one ever know? Sometimes you feel so all alone. Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken with a message of hope. To that church on the corner of that forgotten little town, with a room of empty pews where his love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you sow, but it just takes one willing soul to make him known.
One willing soul to make him known. Man, I love that song. And at the time of this recording, that wonderful band, Chosen Road, is in the great big city of Branson.
They're at the Mansion Theater in Branson. That's a big theater.
Goodness. Yeah. The most famous part of this podcast is Chosen Road.
Probably so. Probably so. That's now, not saying much, though.
No, that's not. That's not. Well, no, they're great. They're doing it. It's fantastic. Now, if you don't recognize that voice, then you have not been listening long enough. That is the original gangster from the early days of the Rural Pastor Podcast. My name is Andy Addis. I have the privilege of being the Director of Rural Ministries for North American Mission Board, and I am joined here. I'll let him introduce himself, but he is the great Mark Clifton.
I'm just Mark Clifton. It's got nothing else to do. I just wandered in and sat down here.
Well, the reason that we're here is we're not alone, and we would love to hear from everybody here. Go ahead. Yeah. We've got some friends in studio. We've spent the last day at something called the Rural Summit in Salina, Kansas, Webster Conference Center and Campground. And we asked if they would like to join us for a recording here, and I'm ecstatic about it.
I'm too. We've had a good crowd of pastors and their wives, mostly from rural places, mainly across the mid-United States, some a little further than that. And it's been good to be with them. We're kind of winding it down. This is sort of the... this is the end of it. It's just kind of petering out right here.
Yeah, what we're saying is we're seeing a lot of people heading to the parking lot because the plenary sessions are over.
Yeah, it's like you can go home or you can stay and listen to this podcast.
Yeah, and all nine of us. Yeah,
that's right.
We're here right now. No, it is a blessing to have you guys here. And the topic that Mark and I want to share with you as we get started, I think, especially talking to rural pastors, talking to staff members of churches and even denominational employees, March is Pastor's Wives Appreciation Month. And October, of course, is traditionally Pastor Appreciation Month. And I know that that's kind of a depressing time for some when they don't get recognized. But we want to recognize from our perspective, especially the ladies, the Pastor's Wives Appreciation Month here in the month of March. But we're going to do it a little differently because this is the Rural Pastor Podcast. How do pastors honor pastors' wives? I mean, because we know what's going to happen. If they do well, they're going to get from the congregation a gift card and a night at Applebee's, right?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of churches know that March is Pastors' Wives Appreciation Month.
And so we need to make that
I didn't know that until you sent me this text and said we were going to do a podcast. I really didn't know that. Is that like in the Bible or something?
Exactly. It's in the first book of Get This Done, Hallmark.
Is it really?
Yeah, no.
Seriously. I'm an old man. I don't know these things.
Let's just take a survey. Did anybody else know that it was pastor's wives? Okay. Two or three. That was it. Mostly
you sure you're not just making this up?
Listen, I'm right here. I love the fact that we can be on top of this. Here we go. Google.
Show me.
Pastor's wives.
Appreciation.
Look, I didn't even finish it all. Appreciation Month.
Yeah, what's it say? What's it say?
March. You might not have known this, but March is pastor's.
I did not know this.
That's right, it's March Madness.
So, yes, it is a fairly recent development, but I'll be honest with you, whether or not it is the month, pastors can do a good job of making sure that we honor our wives, right?
Right.
And absolutely. So instead of talking about gift cards or a pat on the back or a cake in the foyer saying congratulations to you, how do pastors do a good job of appreciating their wives? Now, you might be thinking, this is the world's worst scenario. You have two old guys talking
very
about
old, very old.
Talking about pastors' wives. But this list has been curated by my wife.
Well, she made the list.
Well, we went through this list together, and then I'll very specifically point out what she has added of her own accord.
Okay. I'm anxious to hear the list.
So here's the first one. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's just respond to these and whether or not – well, just hoping that we can honor our wives. The first one is this. And it's really serious. We have to love our wives, but to make sure that our wives know in ministry that we love them more than we love anyone or anything else other than Jesus. That we don't love the church more than we love them. That we don't love our hunting more than we love them. That they are pedestaled. And that the way that we honor a pastor's wife is by making sure that every wife would know that their husband loves them more than anything other than Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes marriages, they have their ups and their downs. They have their incredibly great moments and not so great moments. They even have seasons, right? Sometimes there's a season where everything's just hitting on all cylinders. And there's just a, for whatever reason, because you and I are acting like jerks, Andy, there's a bumpy season.
There is.
And sometimes in those bumpy, rough seasons, rather than leaning into your marriage and leaning into your wife, it's easy for us as pastors to lean more into the church and to spend more time and get lost in church work and get lost in ministry so that we're not really spending time with our wives. And they realize that, and they notice that. They know when we're using the church to avoid them. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm.
And the truth is that they respect seasons, and they know that we all have times that we have this need or that need. But there is a line that you can cross. I believe I've seen it, and I believe I've been in danger of it before, where you can actually have an affair with the church.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? That the relationship that you have with the church is unhealthy,
right?
And then that causes an unhealthy relationship.
Absolutely.
So when we say pedestal them, you know, love and respect, the Ephesians chapter on husbands and wives, how do we show this? I think one of the things I talk about in premarital counseling all the time is that when we want something, we display that, and so we show them what we want instead of giving them what they need. And since men generally thrive on respect, we'll do respect. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to provide more. And what she wants is to be loved. And so how do we do this? And I think it's a matter of pedestaling and getting away from your needs and saying, how do I show, and every wife's got a different, every husband's got a different love language. How do we love on them? So just making sure they're the priority.
Absolutely. Make sure they know they're the priority.
Absolutely. And not even a close second. That's what my wife would
and
say.
And one way you can let them know they're the priority, this is going to be misunderstood, but I don't care at my age. Is to let them know they don't have to be at everything that goes on at the church.
Yes.
And to let them know that if any particular Sunday they just aren't feeling up to it, they can stay home.
That's actually number three on the list.
And I didn't even know it. Oh, that's great.
But let me give you the language because I think you'll like the language.
Go ahead.
Don't conscript your wife into service.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
How do we honor them? The old blue and gray war, they were conscripted into service.
Well, because I know sometimes pastors, I know that they're always going to ask you, well, where's your wife today? You know, I get that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so sometimes you just. Your wife will talk, you know, maybe she's not feeling well. And she says, and you say, oh, you don't have to come, but you're saying with your body language, oh, please, don't leave me hanging out there. Please, you need to come. You're my wife. They expect you to be there. Don't do that.
And we make assumptions that we just should not make. Oh, they love doing this. Or
yes, exactly.
This is where they went. They wouldn't be anywhere else. They're like, I would be anywhere else,
exactly.
Literally.
Okay, I didn't mean to get to number three.
No, I think that's great. Right. But when I say don't conscript them into service, so like my wife, Miss Kathy Addis, she's a sweetheart, loves to serve, but not in those traditional roles. As a matter of fact, there is a compassion team at our church that cooks the meals for funerals and takes care of people. And what she did is she used her little crafty cricket and made aprons for everybody. And then she sends them encouraging notes. And every time she sees them, she goes, thanks for doing it. I'm never doing it.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
She goes, that is not my world. I'll help you out here. But we can't assume. She also tells us that, you know, she can barely play a radio. Don't ever ask her to play a piano. These are things that we just have to make sure we don't voluntold them into things.
Yeah, I like that. You don't conscript them. And not even doing it, just sort of an unspoken kind of, you know, you should be doing this and you really should be there. And I get it.
Yep.
You're right.
Okay, so two out of five so far. Love them more than anything else other than Jesus, and make sure they know they're on a pedestal. Number two, don't conscript them into service. This is how we're going to honor our pastor's wives. Let's go back up to the second one. It'll be our number three. Honor them, but do that both publicly and privately. And this is the conversation I had with my missus. You can honor them, but if you only do it publicly, sometimes that feels like you're doing it for a show.
Yeah.
And if you only do it privately, sometimes that feels like you don't really mean it.
Right.
And so my wife tells me the best way for me to make her feel good by honoring her is when she catches me saying something honoring to her when she doesn't know that that she's listening to me.
Yeah, and what you're saying there is, in terms of in front of your congregation, don't use your wife as a prop, okay? And don't try to show what a great husband you are because you love your wife so much, and so you're telling all this, and then you go home and you don't treat her that way.
That's right. Right?
That's right. That's terrible. Or, you know, don't just be one way with her at home, and then you get to church, you ignore her, you don't make eye contact, you're busy, you got to be with other people, you never acknowledge her. Just be conscious of it, both in church and out of church, in front of people and not in front of people, mm-hmm. and let her see you be the same, and that's really important.
The consistency.
The consistency. Mm-hmm. Also, not only, I'm looking at your list, maybe this is number four or five, not only affirming her in front of people, but in a very sense, standing up for her in front of people.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Defending her in front of people.
That's good.
There are times, you know, well, your wife, she's been gone a lot lately, or she hasn't gotten here, or she didn't stay as late last week, or she didn't come in, and, you know, and rather than sort of just give into that, you know, just make it clear that you support your wife, and she's doing great, and, you know, her main job is to do what Christ asked her to do in the home and in the family, and she's doing a great job of that. She needs to know that you've totally got her back.
Yeah,
and
probably not say something like, "Well, she's trying to avoid you because you're very irritating." Yeah. that is not what you want.
No,
to
not
do.
At all.
Okay, so love them. Make sure this is how pastors are going to honor pastors' wives during because everybody else in the congregation can get them a gift card, pat them on the back, and a Hallmark, but you got to do something different. How about this? We're going to love them more than anybody else. We're going to honor them both publicly and privately, that consistency. And by the way, before we move on from this, what does honoring them look like? You got to know who your wife is, because sometimes, even if you say good things about them publicly, that is not the way they feel honored. They don't like that part of the limelight. You got to know who they are. But honor them both publicly and privately. Don't conscript them into service. I know you're going to like this one.
Let me say one more thing.
Yeah.
Don't use them as a joke. In other words, what I mean by that is, not that I have any experience with this, but in a sermon, if you're just trying to be, I don't know, sort of humorous, talk about my marriage or my wife, or, you know, my wife tells me to, don't do that. Just don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it doesn't end well when you say something like, you know, my wife said I preached too long last week. Don't do that. Those kinds of things. Don't bring her into the picture at all like that in your sermon. And I would never use her in any kind of illustration unless she wants you to do that.
Number four.
Is that what it says?
You got it. Illustrate with consent.
Is that right? See, yes. I didn't even see this list.
I
do magic. I actually do magic as a hobby. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
I'm reading your mind, and I'm reading this.
You're doing close-up magic right here.
I'm doing close-up magic right here. So, I had not seen this list.
So I'm 100% in agreement with you. My wife is as well. Illustrate with consent. And when we say that, in our house, we had a policy that Andy could tell any story about the family that he wanted so long as he was the idiot, right? Okay. That was the number one. The kids, I never told a story about my boys. I have two young men now that have grown up in our household, or my wife, without getting their permission before I did that. And for the boys, it became a deal of I would pay them $5 per illustration. It was a money-making deal.
They would give you permission every
time. Nathan would come to me and say, "Dad, do you need me to do something stupid?" when he needed money. But Kathy, you know, again, no story unless it was given. And this is, I think, really important in what you're getting at. It's not just that you don't say, "Hey, can I tell that story?" or "Hey, can I use that as an illustration?" Make sure when you do it, you don't make them feel obligated, like, "Oh, I'm going to be a bad wife if I don't say yes."
Exactly.
Yeah. You want to make sure I'm team Kathy. I'm you first. And right. I think this would really work, but if you're uncomfortable with it at all, and what I've found, you tell me, you've been preaching a long time, I've been preaching a long time, you may say something that you think was affirming to your wife. I'm talking about her strong parenting.
Right.
Right? She goes, "You made me sound like the Wicked Witch of the East."
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had no idea.
Yeah.
So
just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just don't. There's enough you can talk about in your sermon. You don't even really need to bring, just be very cautious about using your wife in any kind of example, because you're right. You may be thinking you're making her strong and she thinks you're making her grumpy, mm-hmm. or you may be thinking you're making her soft and she thinks you're making her wimpy. Or believe me, it would not be the first time, no matter how long you've been married, that you and your wife do not understand the same thing the same way. And you may say something thinking, this is perfect. She's going to love this. And she's like, that was the most dumb thing you've ever said about me.
You're saying there's some communication issues.
I am. Yeah. And I also say, in addition, I think you got to be careful about what pictures you post of her online.
That's really good.
Because she is sort of a public figure with mm-hmm. the pastor and his wife. And, you know, again, don't use her as a prop. She knows when you're doing that. And you got to be careful about any picture that might not be particularly flattering. You and I don't care what we look like.
90% of the time.
They do care what they look like.
Yeah.
And so, you know, be kind and gracious. And you know, if you're going to post a picture of your wife online, I think you should always run it. Jill doesn't listen to this. I hope you could you should always run it past her.
Yeah.
Right? Because on an occasion or two, I did not do that, and I should have done that.
Because she did not like what the...
Well, she just thought, you should let me know if you're going to post a picture of me online. And mm-hmm. so I think you just got to be cautious, even what you put online with your wife.
Now, I only know this because in a previous podcast about a year ago, this was a trigger for you, and I want to see if it still triggers you. As a pastor, isn't it honoring of your wife when you talk about how hot she is from the pulpit?
No, don't do that. I hate that.
I know you do.
That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And it happens all the time, doesn't it?
I don't know what guys are trying to do when they do that. You know, when I was at Warnell, we had a church plant that was coming in our neighborhood. It wasn't a Southern Baptist church plant, but it was a really good biblical church plant. Mm. So I asked the kid, I said, hey, come, introduce yourself to our church on Sunday morning. Let the people know where your church plant's going to be and what your... And he's, I'd be glad to. We're a great young man. So he comes, and of course, I got a bunch of elderly people in this Warnell. You know, we haven't quite replanted yet. And he gets up there, and he says, you know, my name is so-and-so, and man, I've been blessed with a great ministry and salvation. And, you know, God blessed me with the hottest wife you could ever imagine. And
I'm thinking, oh, it's just great. Awkward.
I want to come preach after you say something like that.
It's just awkward,
The problem with saying that is, I mean, it uses the world's language to describe the value and the worth of a woman, mm-hmm. right? And you've got what do you do if you've got some ladies out there who don't particularly feel like they look like that,
right?
And I just, the whole thing is just dumb.
So you're
just
reinforcing the values of a secular culture.
Yeah, and what happens? I don't know what he means. I'm sure he means no matter who she is, she's hot to him. I guess is what she means. You know, but what he means, but. It's just dumb.
Yeah, so it's basically watch that, when, especially from the pulpit, watch the things that you're saying, the things that you're posting, all those kind of things. Because, again, to refresh, we are trying to honor our wives as pastors during Pastor Wives Appreciation Month. Okay, so love them more than anyone other than Jesus, more than anything other than Jesus. Honor them, both publicly and privately. Don't conscript them into some kind of service. Illustrate with consent. This one's going to take a little bit of explaining, but remember her too. Meaning that pastors will say, I need a break. Pastors will say, I need a sabbatical. Or pastors say, I just got to have a day off. And if your wife is staying home, homeschooling kids, working part-time, when you take that day off, guess who else needs a day off? Guess who else needs to enjoy that break? It's not just you. I know you're weary. But you know what? She's been you had to preach yesterday. Do you know what's harder than you preaching? Is her listening to you on the 30th year of doing that. And so we need to remember her too. So every time you as a pastor go, boy, I need a break. I need some time. I need to get away. We need to remember that our partner in life, the one God has given us, that she needs to be included in that too.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes you need to sit down on a regular basis with your wife, and you need to say, now, let's remember, what exactly are you doing at church? Because sometimes they add things you don't know about. Mm. People have asked her to do things. And just every now and then do an inventory of what are you doing at church? And then just say, what are these things would you really rather not be doing right now? And then help her find ways, and you support her in helping her uncouple from some things she doesn't need to be doing. Mm. Because even without you knowing it, people have probably added some things to her plate, yep. right? Mm-hmm. And so you just need every now and then to come along and say, listen, let's pick two or three things. And I'm very passionate about this. Just because she's your wife doesn't mean, as you say, conscripted, doesn't mean she needs to be serving in places she's not finding joy and not finding fulfillment.
That's right.
And if your wife is not finding joy and fulfillment and serving in some, then please, please give her permission and help remove her from those places so that she's only serving in those things that are meaningful to her, that God's called her to do.
And not only encourage her to do that, but maybe as the pastor, take the bullet for her.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Exactly. The one that says, I've told my wife she can't do this. She would love to keep doing this, ladies, but I've told her.
I've asked her to not do this.
I shouldn't say I've told her. That's true. I don't know how to word that. I've been married a long time. I still don't know how to word any of this stuff. I really don't. So
I think you're doing okay. By the way, let's talk. How long have you been married?
40 years. Yeah. How long have you been married?
I've been married 30 years. You got to be
really?
Yeah.
It's been good. Have yours all been good? Ours have been. You know, I like it when somebody says, I love it when people say, you know, been married for 45 years. There's been a lot of ups and downs. I go, well, yeah, you don't need to say that. I mean, basically, it's all been great. So.
Well, ours will be 30 this summer. We're actually taking a cruise. We're going
to
fly.
Cruising too.
Okay, now let me just tell you, I'm going to commit now. Actually, my travel agent's in the room here.
The Branson Bell across Table Rock, is that your cruise?
We're flying to London.
Flying to London.
And we're going to do some C.S. Lewis stuff a couple days before we get on a British Isles cruise.
Wonderful.
We've been saving for this. It's going to be so much fun. And now there is no turning back because I just went public with it all.
You did. Does she know?
Oh, yeah. She's ecstatic. Oh, okay. Half the fun for her is getting ready.
Okay. Let's talk about something else, though, about just one more thing. And, you know, it's pretty common, but we got to think about it. You know, I think every week you need to date your wife.
Mm-hmm.
So every week, pick an evening or a noon, and you in your rhythm things, you talk about this. You know, if you don't work morning, noon, and night,
you need
if you're a pastor, if you know you're going to work Wednesday night, then take off Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, right?
100%.
But and you can date your wife if you know Wednesday morning or whatever. But every week, spend a specific time one on one with her, and then ask her what's going on in her life. If she likes to quilt, if she likes to garden, if she likes hockey, you know, learn those things. And then when you're with her on that date, engage her in those conversations. Talk about things she likes to talk about. If you take her on a date and all you do is talk about your problems at church, don't do that. You can talk about Jesus all you want.
Not church 2.0.
Not church work, right.
Yeah, home should be home.
So date your wife once a week. If you can, get away once a month. If you can, find some place. If you can actually, if you can leave the kids with somebody, you can spend the night alone. You can go camping once a month. That would be really great.
Say, and I believe that principle of the. I'm gonna test Zach, who's one of our community pastors here, and see if we can do this. So just remember, we got a live audience here. So I'm testing him. The pastor has a date night. What night is date night? Do you know? Thursday night, yeah, because
your date's Thursday night.
Thursday nights, they know unless you're bleeding from multiple spots, don't call us on Thursday, because we really protect that night, and we've done that ever since Grandma babysat the kids. Now we're empty nesters, and we're still. It's important. And by the way, learning those things like you're saying, hockey, quilting, whatever it is, that is one of those ways to pedestal your wife.
It is, and to learn and to like what she likes, and to do what she likes to do, and go where she likes to go, and really put if she likes to play certain board games, play that, whatever. Uh-huh. Really make an effort. Like, I don't know, like you're dating her, right? I mean, like were when you were dating her.
It's not like, bag my limit, we're done.
That's right.
No, we're still in this. So we got years to go, miles to go before we sleep. Okay, so we're almost there. I have one last one. It's not going to take a lot of discussion, to be honest with you, because here's how this went. I came up with a rudimentary list, and I handed it on my phone to Kathy, and I said, hey, fix this. What? And she's like, okay, this needs to be this. And that's where all the nuances of this came from. She handed it back to me. I go, okay, that's good. Can we talk with it? She goes, oh, wait. She grabbed it, and she typed one more. And this is totally Kathy. This wasn't on my list at all. It just says chocolate. That's all it says. So that's her love language. She wants some chocolate.
Find your wife's love language. This is kind of strange, but my wife's there's an article that came out. I read it recently, something about find a man that brings you bananas. Now,
okay.
I know that seems weird. But bananas don't last very long, right?
Right.
And my wife, she eats bananas a lot, every morning and everything. And so if I'm out at the store, if I'm someplace and I see some relatively fresh-looking bananas, I always buy them and bring them home. So there's always fresh bananas in our kitchen.
Mm.
And she really does appreciate that. because that's something you have to do every couple of days because they'll kind of go bad.
Yeah.
I know this sounds kind of crazy, but chocolate, but she appreciates bananas.
Yeah. And she, it's not even about the bananas, right? It's about like, he knows what I want.
Right. And here's another thing you can do. We got a little vase and, you know, you can pick up roses at the grocery store really cheap and, you know, just do that. And I, this thing where a lot of times, you know, just always have a vase with some roses, two or three, in the kitchen or in the bedroom, and don't tell her about it. Just keep them fresh. And if they go bad, you throw them out and bring some new ones in. Little things like that. That just
man, that's overboard. Still, that's good still, stuff right there.
Yeah, I know.
That's a Romeo move.
You know how? Let me tell you how we got and get. You want to how I got? You want to buy my? We have enough time for this?
Yes, we do. Go ahead.
Whatever. People can you can all turn off if you want to. But if the rest of you, my proposal. I didn't know how to, you know, Dan Hurst is on my podcast. By the way, I have another podcast. This is the real one, but I have a second.
No. This we're glad you're a guest, but Revitalize and Replant.
Revitalize and Replant.
You got to check that one
Dan
out.
Dan Hurst is on. He's one of my co-hosts on Revitalize and Replant. So I was getting ready to ask Jill to marry me, right? And I didn't really know whether she'd say yes or not. I know she wasn't going to break up with me. But it's not one of those things where, like, you know, that you've shopped for the ring. It's just a matter of when you're going to ask. No. This was going to be a surprise to some degree. And so I was going to ask her on her birthday, which was February the 19th.
Valentine's
Day. So what I did, I went and picked out a ring, and I picked out some earrings. This is a true story. And in my right pant pocket was the earrings, and in my left pant pocket was the engagement ring.
I'm feeling where we're going.
And I was just going to see how the evening went. And if it wasn't like, I don't think this is the right time, then it was just going to be the earrings and the birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Dan what to do, and we thought about whole kinds of different situations, and so we came up with this. There's a fancy restaurant we went to in Topeka, not that there's that many fancy restaurants in Topeka, Kansas. But I went early, and I took a big vase with 13 roses, 12 red ones and one white one. And so what I did, I told the waitress there that day, I said, when we come in here to eat, I want you to bring out the vase, just empty the vase on the table. And then every time you come to ask us for what we want to drink, for our order, do we want more drinks? Every time you come out, I want you to bring another rose. Just keep bringing another rose, right? And bring out 12 roses. And then when you bring out the 12th one, I want you to say, is there anything else you want? And if I say, no, that's good, I said, then for goodness sakes, don't bring out the last rose, okay?
Okay.
But if I say, yeah, I think we might want to look at a dessert menu or something, I said, then bring out the last rose, because the last rose would have a note on it that says, will you marry me? And so...
And that's
how that went down. So it was a good night.
And you got the white rose.
And I'm thinking, okay, this is my best chance right here.
That's like a precursor to The Bachelor.
I guess. That was a long time ago. And so, sure, and of course, all the wait staff's watching to see if they're going to bring out the white rose.
Yeah.
You know? And so they brought it out, and she saw the white rose, and she looked at the card, and it said, will you marry me?
Was it an emotional response?
Yes.
For her?
And she said, well, of course I will. So I took the earrings back and got my money.
You didn't give her the earrings?
No, I gave her the earrings, too. All right.
Wow.
We're good.
I was just thinking maybe she didn't know that part of it. If she hears this,
that's it. So,
okay, so my wife and I proposed to her on Christmas Eve in front of all of her family, which would have sounded romantic, except it was preceded by me asking probably 3 dozen times, if I asked you to marry me, what would you say? And the first time she was really excited, and then it got less until finally the last time she's like, if you ask me again, the answer is going to be no. So I'm like, all right, I will ask for certain this next time. And that's how that went down. Well, this has been really good. I hope that we've enjoyed this. What we're trying to do is just kickstart the heart of some pastors for this month that we're celebrating pastors' wives, that we need to celebrate them in a different way. Love them like we love no one else. Honor them publicly and privately. Don't conscript them making assumptions about what they're willing to do. Always illustrate with consent. Remember her too in all your needs. She has those very same needs for breaks and rest and remembrance. And then chocolate covered bananas.
Yeah, chocolate covered bananas.
That'll work. Man, thank you so much, Mark, for spending some time with us. It is absolutely a joy to have you back here when you get a break from the other podcast.
Well, thank you. And we're going to do some stuff later this year where you're going to be on ours. We're going to cross-pollinate.
It'll be great. And thank you, everybody here. Yay! We're so glad that you were joining with us. It's been a blast, and thanks for being a part of the Rural Summit. We'll see you all again real soon on another edition of the Rural Pastor Podcast.
Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken.
message of hope to that church on the corner of that forgotten little town, with a room of empty pews where his love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you sow, but it just takes one willing soul to make him know.
Thank you for joining us on the Rural Pastor Podcast. Special thanks to Chosen Road for our incredible theme music and to 180 Digital for their corporate sponsorship and making all the technical things possible. Rural church leader, we want to remind you that your work is important, that you are important, and that you are not alone. See you again soon for another edition of the Rural Pastor Podcast.